Eventually, he brought his mother from Romania. She was an old Jewish lady. She came and lived with us. And my mother's Catholic mother came too. And these two women, who hated each other, fought for my soul. My grandmother, the Catholic one, would take me to church every Sunday, and I had to pay for my mother because she kept marrying Jews and she was going to hell. And my Jewish grandmother dragged me off to the synagogue every Saturday. I prefer the church because it smelled better. And the synagogue, I had to sit upstairs with the women, whereas in the church, I was allowed to be with everybody else. And to tell you the truth, I had so much religion thrown at me that I don't do any of it anymore. And then one day, my stepfather, who was a very, very good stepfather, he was not a nice man, but to me, he was wonderful. You know, we always judge people by how they are to yourself. I mean, he wasn't a particularly nice man. He was a victim, but no, that doesn't sanctify you. But he was a very good stepfather to me, and he sat me down when I was about 12 and told me how my father died. And we never told my mother because there was no need for her to know this. My father and another friend from our town stole a piece of bread, and they caught them. And they were made an example of, and this was like early spring, it was cold, and they stripped them naked and beat them half to death and put each of them in a dog cage in the big area where the Appellplatz, where people would have to line up every morning to be counted, as an example, you know. And it took him 2 days and a night to die. And one of the reasons I speak is because I don't want anybody else's father, or as a matter of fact, I don't want anybody else to die like that, because the cruelty to these people was unimaginable. It's one thing if you just kill somebody, but to reduce human beings to nothing, to take away their dignity to this extent, to have a man shivering naked, half dead in a dog cage, dying slowly, is wrong. And you know, I have no grave, I have nowhere to go and connect with my father at all. There's nothing, you know, he's gone. Dita is gone, my father's gone, my whole family is gone. There's nothing of them, nothing left, no grave, no closure. I sometimes look up at the sky and look at the stars, and I remember how he used to hold me on his lap and tell me all about the constellations. I still know all of them in Hungarian. And when I look up at the stars, I have this feeling of closeness. I still feel that there's some kind of a presence, but, you know, that's all I have. And, you know, I feel safe in a barn. I have a barn at home and there's hay in it. And when I feel insecure, I go in there and I breathe in the hay. And it gives me a feeling of security because the hay saved my life. The problem is that when my stepfather was dying, he had Alzheimer's and he didn't realize that I was not his daughter. He kept calling me Dita. And I was holding his hand while he was dying, and he was talking to me as if I was Dita, and I never corrected him. And I was so happy to be able to give him the feeling that his daughter was still alive. And you know, I always think about The Merchant of Venice for some reason, you know, which is considered very much an anti-Semitic play, which it isn't really, because it's very much a play of those times. And you know that wonderful speech about, am I not a man? You know, I have the same feelings as you. Don't I bleed when you hurt me? Don't I feel the same cold, the same heat as you? And what people don't realize is that when you persecute a whole group of people, they are just like you. They hurt the same way as you. They suffer the same way. And this is what I keep telling children, that bullying is the same as what happened there. And it didn't happen overnight. It was a slow progression. And by hating somebody sitting next to you because they smell different or they eat different food or they have a different color or pushing them, that's the beginning. And the Holocaust was bullying on steroids. That's what it was. And I talked to the kids and I explained to them that, you know, it's terribly corrosive. Words hurt. Actions hurt, and terrible things can happen if you don't make sure that you don't do this to another human being. It took me 50 years to get over my hatred, because when I was a child, I was full of hatred. I was so full of hatred. I wanted to kill the people who killed my father. I had these fantasies about how I would flay them alive and eviscerate them and kill them slowly. It was very sick. And it took me 50 years to get over it. And, you know, I realized that as long as my soul is full of hatred, there's no room for anything else. And I slowly emptied my soul of hatred. And no, I don't forgive, because it's not for me to forgive. I mean, I can only forgive my own death, not somebody else's. And I still have a lot of sorrow, but there's no more hatred. And I have embraced love as a religion, if you like. And I'm a very happy person now, because I don't hate. I don't hate. People say to me, well, what do you do for revenge? And I said, well, I live. And every time I gave birth to a Jewish child, it was giving the finger to Hitler. And I have 4 sons, and I have 4 granddaughters. And I have a very multicultural family. My eldest son married a girl whose father was in the Wehrmacht. And, you know, when they first told me that, I sort of swallowed. And I said, well, yeah, since of the fathers, we don't visit on the children. And when they had a baby, I went over. They live in Canada, and I was holding this beautiful baby. And this is the baby. This is the child of a perpetrator and the victim. And the tears were running down my face, and I was thinking, oh my God, this is perfect. This is how it should be. We have to go forward. We cannot go back. We cannot change things, but we can make things better for the future. And this beautiful child closed the circle for me, and it was such a healing experience. I'll never forget that. I speak for the dead, because they cannot speak for themselves, but unfortunately, 10% of people are pretty evil, and 10% are wonderful. There's wonderful people in the world, and 80% are sheep, and I'm afraid of the sheep, because it's the sheep who are the dangerous ones, because the sheep will follow either one or the other, and it's much easier to follow the evil, because all you have to do is stand behind the evil person and giggle and not do anything. But if you follow the good people, you have to actually do something. You have to perhaps stand up for someone. You have to speak out. You have to take some kind of action. You have to be counted. And the danger is the sheep. I always tell the children, if you cannot find yourself to be the 10% either way, make sure you follow the right shepherd, because, boy, is that a danger. And stand up and be counted, because if you don't, this could happen again. There's genocide going on the whole time. And people looked away. It's not so much people who perpetrated everything, but the people who looked away, the look-away people. And that is a terrible thing to do. I always ask, just remember Dieter.